AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks. The U.S. Army confirms five service members have died in a helicopter refueling mission in the eastern Mediterranean.
The Pentagon says the accident occurred during routine training on Friday and was not related to the fighting in and around Gaza, adding there is no evidence it was brought down by hostile action. The U.S. has had a naval task force in the waters off Israel since the beginning of the crisis, and some of those ships participated in the unsuccessful search for survivors. The cause of the accident is now under investigation. David Martin, CBS News, Washington.
The largest hospital in Gaza has announced it has run out of fuel and no longer running as a hospital. Here's CBS's Deborah Pata.
Already, at least three babies relying on incubators have died after the power ran out. The medical staff want guarantees that the nearly 600 patients still inside can be safely evacuated. The Israeli military has kept up its drumbeat of accusations. Hamas, it says, is using the hospital as an operating base, a charge the group denies.
Hamas suspended hostage negotiations today over Israel's handling of that hospital. More than 100,000 people marched today in Paris to protest a rise in anti-Semitism amid the war. Some politicians also joined in, calling anti-Jewish acts there alarming. There have been more than 1,000 hate crimes registered in Paris since the war started. Some Republicans have come out against House Speaker Mike Johnson's new plan to avoid a government shutdown by passing laddered stopgap measures. Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy says our Israeli and Ukrainian allies need help now.
In the Senate, we've been able to find bipartisan agreement on a budget that not only funds what the country needs, but gets money to our partners all around the world who are in desperate need of American support.
Murphy tells NBC it's a recipe for failure to pass half a budget on one date and the other half on another. One of the most recognizable faces of the January 6th Capitol riots plans to run as a Libertarian candidate for Congress in Arizona. Jacob Chansley, who was known as the QAnon shaman, filed that paperwork online last week. He did serve about 27 months in prison for the attack, but Arizona restores civil rights to felons after they've done their time. And Texas A&M fired its football coach Jimbo Fisher today, ending his six-year tenure with the Aggies. The school does plan to pay the remaining $75 million on his contract. He had about 4 years left. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Clear skies tonight with a low of 33. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, high of 54. Lows around 32 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 46.
Rocket, this Madison-based jazz ensemble is fronted by vocalist Helen Feast. And let me tell you, Rob, size matters. From an intimate duet all the way to a groovy sextet, this band represents the same musical fabric in each of their forms. They are known simply as Feastet. Formed in 2021, the Feastet blended arranged jazz classics and originals and paid tribute to the sounds and stories that withstand the test of time. And tonight, performing tonight live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group, is Helen Feast and her band, the Feastet. Helen and the boys in the band, welcome to Max Inc. Radio.
Thank you.
Now, before our listeners get a little randy and start breaking into a sweat, without using any dirty words, what exactly is a sextet?
A sextet is jazz terminology for a six-piece band. So sex is six.
So it's just that simple.
That simple.
All right. Now that the elephant's out of the room, let's learn a little bit about you and your band, the Feastet. First, let's get to know you, Helen Feast. Tell us about how you got started in music and what led you to love jazz.
Sure. How I got started in music and how I led to how I found jazz are two separate stories. But
okay.
I started gigging around Madison at 15 years old. So mostly those bands were rock, blues rock, Doors and Led Zeppelin covers. So it wasn't until later in college when I was studying voice that I sort of discovered jazz and fell in love with jazz.
When you played with some of those early bands then, was that just vocals or do you play other instruments?
Nope, I'm not a musician, just a vocalist.
And what role did your parents play in your musical upbringing?
Well, they definitely were very supportive. I didn't inherit any musical talents or skills from my parents besides their excellent taste in music, of course.
I see. And you went to school, Southern Illinois, in University of Carbondale, mm-hmm. and you had a minor in music. Mm-hmm. Tell us about studying music in college.
Studying music in college is an experience that varies greatly from person to person and school to school. I started with a certain type of music major, and I ended up with a minor. That's the more polite way to talk about it.
And you study voice.
I did. The program I originally came for was a music business program, so it had a little bit of marketing in there, but I thought it was cool because you still had to have a music, like a primary instrument, so you still had to audition for the School of Music and take all of the same core curriculum stuff that a music major might.
Wow, that's very interesting. And in 2014, you earned Female Youth Vocalist of the Year from the Madison Area Music Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about winning that.
Sure. That band was called the Blue Sundays. That was my first ever band. I still remember my parents driving me to the Frequency at 15 years old for our first ever show.
Oh, yeah.
It was a Monday night with an 11:30 p.m. start time, which at the Frequency means we actually got on at about 12:15.
Yeah.
So my parents were very supportive, if not extremely out of place in the Frequency.
Wow, that is funny. Now, get back to the question. How'd you fall in love with jazz?
Jazz is so exclusive. There's so much language and terminology and history in jazz that when I started to observe jazz from the outside, I just felt this FOMO. I felt like I was on the outside and I wanted to be on the inside. There's so much history and repertoire involved in jazz.
Well, let's get to some live jazz in the lair presented by the Aaron Weber Group. Helen, the first song that you have for us tonight is called Does Anyone Have the Time? And it's the first original song that the Festet released. Tell us about this song before you play.
Yeah, so not surprisingly to anyone, but jazz music is not anyone's full-time day job here. Everyone here in this room is either a full-time student, a graduate student that's a PhD student, or they have a full-time office job. So the sentiment of these songs is all about kind of that anti-corporate grind. we sort of kind of hate our office jobs energy.
I see.
Agreed.
Well, here we are with the Festet live in the lair on Max Inc. Radio.
Six, calling it quits. Time can't be bought, or so I thought. We all multitask, no focus I ask. Does anyone have the time? Everyone moves, bosses approve of locking in time. The years of our prime, a life late to start, where dreams fall apart. There is no dime, so I worry and heave all week in a hurry that leaves me weak. They say it's the American way to live your life, trapped until night. I'd pay any price for ambition on ice. I'm climbing a ladder, but what does it matter? The view isn't great when days go till eight. I need more time. Does anyone have the time? Mm-hmm. Until night, I pay any price for ambition on ice. I'm climbing a ladder, but what does it matter? The view isn't great when days go too late. I need more time. Does anyone have the time?
In the Layer on Max Inc. Radio.
Wow, that was incredible.
Thank you.
So, Helen, you have been performing, working for music startups and digital marketing strategists. Tell us a little about your work for the startup LUM, Loom, which stands for Live Undiscovered Music.
Oh, Loom was a sort of an app startup in 2018, 2019 or so. A bunch of brilliant UW grads put this together, and their business model was... You know, there's about 100,000 songs uploaded to Spotify every single day, but 90% of all streaming playtime comes from 1% of all music. So there's all of this music out in the world that no one's aware of, that no one listens to, but,
wow.
You know, there's some excitement around being the person to discover a band, right? Like,
right.
No one's particularly proud when they jump on the Beyonce train or the Taylor Swift train, because everyone else loves them already, right?
Yep.
So they were trying to create opportunities where you could discover music locally.
Wow. Sounds like radio.
It sounds like us.
That is really cool. That's actually around the time I think I met you, and you were kind of working for that, and you were really pushing local music, and you had a passion for music. I thought that was great. Well, let's start to dive into the feastette. Tonight is the sextet, and it's been a quartet, a quintet, a duet. Tell us the backstory of your band, and, you know, how and why did you start playing together and playing jazz?
Jazz, certainly. Jazz I discovered in college. I tried out for a jazz ensemble and just sort of bombed the interview, and that showed me how much there was to improve in that space. I met most of these guys at the Newbury Jazz Jam, which was a recurring jazz jam hosted by Nick Moran and a couple of other guys for about 20 years, every Tuesday for about 20 years. So that was where I met the majority of these fine gentlemen and where I learned what's possible with jazz from like a collaboration perspective, improvisation. And so that was where the Feast Quartet, the four-piece that we first put together in December of 2019, terrible time to start a band. our first show was June 2021.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you kind of like got a lot of practice during the lockdown, the pandemic.
Well, we didn't meet a lot. But it took a while because of our timing for sure. Yeah.
Well, let's get back to some live jazz in the Layer with the Feastette, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. The next song you have for us tonight, it's called Running from the Dance Floor. Now, I play drums, and I hate dancing. This song must be about a rocker.
It's all for you. This song is for the shy boys who hate self-expression or anything that might draw attention to themselves.
All right, you're listening to the Feastette live in the Layer on Max Inc. Radio.
Step into the dance floor. I promise I'm not here to bite you. You have nothing to be scared of. Step out here and move your feet and hold me tight and stomp your fear. I think you need some relaxation. I've had enough of all this small talk. Your excuses and apologies make me sleep. So shut your lips and shake your hips and dance with me. Self-conscious thoughts are holding. the dance floor. I promise it'll be a good time. You better start your dancing long before the night is through. I'll spend my night just living right. I'll dance with you.
Devil's Lair. Oh, there, I got it. There, see? Max Inc. Radio live in the lair.
All right.
There we go.
We're back, Rob.
Sorry.
No problem. Well, Helen, there are a ton of Madison shows coming up next month and into the new year for Feastat. One show I thought was very unique was your duo performing at the Swanky Mansion Hill Inn just down from the Capitol for Jazz and Cocktails on December 14th. December 17th finds your duo at the Cider Farm. And then the 29th and 30th of December, you're opening for Darren Starrett's holiday show at the Cardinal Bar. Yes, it sounds like your shows may be martini-driven. Is the Feastat playing outside of the Mad City in 2024?
Absolutely. I'm hoping to expand more and more outside of Madison as we kind of grow our fan base here. We have a show in Spring Green on February 10th at the Slowpoke Cabaret. And we've played in Milwaukee once before, so slowly hoping to book some more stuff into 24 for sure.
Awesome. Well, I hope you venue people out there are listening and can find them online. Where can we find the Feastat online?
Yeah, you can Google feastat.com. All of our shows are up there, all of our socials, some of our tunes, all that fun stuff.
Well, let's get back to some live jazz in the lair with the Feastat presented by the Aaron Weber Group here on Max Inc. Radio. The next song you have for us tonight, it's called Like Bacharach. Did Bert have moves too?
Bert Bacharach had such moves, such class. In fact, Anthony, kind of the main writer for our group, has been a huge 60s pop, huge Bert Bacharach fan ever since the beginning. So this song was written in honor of the guy shortly before he passed away earlier this year.
Let's hear it. It's the Feastat, live in the lair on Max Inc. Radio.
I plug in my headphone jack to drown out the sound of your voice with songs that spark joy like Bacharach. But there's always something there to remind me of our affair. I hear every word. You can't be unearthed.
Live in the lair, right here on Max Inc. Radio.
We'll be right back for more music from the Feastette, live in the lair.
Find us on Facebook and become a fan. It's Max Inc. Radio, radio for the people.
Sure, the home seller's market is hot right now, but that means many people are jumping at the first offer. When you sell with the most trusted name in real estate, the Aaron Weber Group at First Weber, you're guaranteed the hottest offer, making you the most money for your home. The Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber, your local realtor, friend, and neighbor, has your best interest in mind and wants you to make the most of this amazing time to sell. Bring a little heat to your home selling experience with Aaron Weber Group and move to Madison.com.
Jimmy K here for the Spaceship.tv. For those of you that know me well, you know I value my couch time. And getting out to shows, well, it's just not in the cards sometimes. Well, now the shows come to me with the Spaceship.tv. The Spaceship.tv is a virtual venue for artists of all kinds. They have great local music, plus the high-quality stream makes for an amazing show on my big screen. Make your couch time rock and see a show at the Spaceship.tv today. The Spaceship.tv.
We're going out of town next month and need a cat sitter.
We use Hotel K Pet Sitting. You know, freebellyrubs.com.
Free belly rubs?
Yeah, Hotel K Pet Sitting. They're local and dependable. They feed our cats, put fresh water out, and even scoop the litter box. And they send daily messages with pictures giving us peace of mind while we're away.
For house sitting, cat sitting, and dog walks, it's Hotel K Pet Sitting. Reserve now at freebellyrubs.com. FreeBellyRubs.com.
Are you hungry? Let's get a tomato pie from Salvatore's Tomato Pies. Livingston Street in Madison, Monona Drive, and Main Street, Sun Prairie. There's pizza, then there's Sal's. Order your tomato pie now at Salvatore'sTomatoPies.com.
If it's local music from Wisconsin, it's heard here. This is Max Inc. Radio. We are local music. Listening to Live in the Lair right here on Max Inc. Radio.
Rob, we're back with the Feastette. And Helen, let's learn a little bit more about your band. Bass players aren't always known for getting some, so let's give the bassist some. Ari Smith is a bassist and composer and working to complete his PhD at the University of Wisconsin. Now, Ari, you've shared the stage with some incredible musicians, including Hanan John Taylor, Vincent Davis, and many others. Tell us about your musical journey to this point, and how did you get started in music?
Oh, wow, yeah. So, way back at the beginning.
Hold on, let me get this.
All
right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess way back at the beginning, my kind of interest in music started with my father. He is a guitarist and singer. Certainly, he plays a lot of music in kind of the classic rock vein, and that's how I got started. I got a bass for, you know, my birthday when I was in fourth grade, and I was quickly enrolled into the kind of family band, only a recreational band.
So your guitar player father gets you a bass guitar.
Exactly.
I see where this is going. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how it went. And, you know, I definitely in a similar journey to Helen, I started kind of as a rock musician. Then through high school, I got kind of more involved in the jazz scene in Cleveland where I grew up. Something about kind of joining the jazz scene really appealed to me in this kind of really kind of improvisatory kind of way of playing, of this constant kind of conversation with the players around me, always kind of coming up with new things. And so I was so kind of swept up in that, and still am, that when I graduated high school, I went to, I got my degree in jazz music from Oberlin Conservatory afterwards, studied bass there, which was an amazing experience. It's a great school for jazz and all sorts of music. And while I was there, I also, you know, got really kind of involved in the classical, you know, music world, which I up until that point wasn't super involved in. But I got kind of more exposed to that kind of realm because there are just so many classical musicians that kind of come through Oberlin. And when it was time for me to, you know, move on from there when I graduated, I decided to go to graduate school for other things just to make sure I kind of had other...
Not music?
Yeah.
What did you get your master's degree in then?
So when I was at Oberlin, I also got a degree in math at the same time.
This is getting painful.
Yeah, it was a very laborious 4 years for sure. And so when I graduated from Oberlin, I came here for a degree in industrial engineering. I knew that Madison would be a great town for me to be in because it just had such a vibrant musical community anyways from, you know, what I knew. So I knew I wouldn't miss out on my opportunity to continue with my music. And I'm so glad to have found such, you know, so many people, everyone in this band, as you mentioned, Hannah John Taylor, who owns Cafe Coda. That was, you know, one of the very first places I went to when I moved here to, you know, see shows, figure out who's who in the scene. And yeah, just since then, it's been wonderful to make music with so many people.
Well, now I'm scared, but what are you getting your PhD in?
So I'm also getting my PhD in industrial engineering.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a long journey. I've been here for just about 5 years now. And so I've been in grad school all that time, which has been certainly a long time.
And jam and bass.
Making a lot of music in the meantime, too. There's no way I could do it without the music.
Upright or electric? What's your preference?
I mostly play upright bass these days. I play electric bass in a lot of contexts.
Some keys sometimes.
Yeah, I play a couple other instruments in other projects in town, too. But mostly, I would say my main love is the upright bass these days.
And what other projects are you playing with around town?
Up until recently, I was playing with Luke Levitt and the Levitations. He's a dear friend of mine, but he just left town to move to Denver. I am also playing bass in this indie band called Muscle Memory. That's just kind of this summer started playing shows in town. And I'm starting to get a new project off the ground just at the end of this month called Cow Tools. That's kind of my own personal project where I'm actually, for the first time, doing a bit of singing, which is something I really have never done before.
Is this a jazz band or a rock band?
It's kind of in, I would say, almost the bossa nova space, kind of pop-ish. The main influence there is Arto Lindsay, if you're familiar with his music at all.
Not today, but I'm going to look it up now.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you very much. That was pretty cool. We're finding out about the bass player. We're giving them some, but a few February highlights. The Feasted is performing at the Slowpoke Cabaret in Spring Green on February 10th and the Durrettskeller in the Wisconsin Memorial Union on February 23rd. Durrettskeller is a great place to see music, but I'm not sure what the Slowpoke is. Tell us about the Slowpoke in Spring Green.
That's a cabaret in Spring Green, and I can tell you cabarets are just jazz clubs that offer a reasonable minimum guarantee for a larger band like myself are far and few in between.
Yeah.
They're very rare, but if you look at the bill that plays at Slowpoke, you'll see some incredible bands, kind of the creme of the crop in Madison play out there, and a lot of other kind of touring groups in the Midwest come through.
We're going to keep our eyes on it.
Definitely.
Especially out at our station in Richland Center.
Mm.
All right, they're close out there. Mm-hmm. Let's get back to live jazz in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. The next song that you have for us tonight, it's called Hold Me Dear. And is this song about the final scene in Game of Thrones?
Very close. Very close. Hold Me Dear is our contrafact. So for those of you who are not steeped in jazz tradition day in and day out, a contrafact is when we take an existing set of chords, a jazz standard of chords, and we basically write a new melody, new lyrics on top of it. So Hold Me Dear is a contrafact of All of Me, the tune made famous by Billie Holiday.
Okay.
And it is what we call our apocalyptic lullaby. So it is our end of times, end of world tune.
I knew it!
You were very close, yes.
Circe's End, right here, live in the Lair, on Max Inc. Radio.
Hold me dear through acid rains. is for. Though this whole wide world is doomed for one day, I'll live through the fear.
Live in the lair on Max Inc. Radio.
Wow. That is just really incredible that we're hearing this tonight. Helen, the next artist in your group that we're going to learn about is a former trumpet player who is playing a very rare instrument, and it's called an EVI, an electric valve instrument. Frank McKern the Fourth. Tell us about how you became a trumpet player and then how you became a former trumpet player. And finally, what the hell is an electric valve instrument?
I ask myself the same question. So I mean, like many of my peers here, I really had no choice in becoming a musician. It was just kind of part of the family thing. Everyone had to learn piano at some point before we could learn how to read. It was just kind of natural to pick an instrument. My arms were too short at the time to learn trombone, and so naturally we just kind of went to trumpet. That happened, played through high school, and then during college, just lost the ability to play. And so right before the pandemic started, great timing to like not be able to play an instrument when there aren't any gigs. So it was perfect timing to just lose the ability to play, rediscover something different. And so that's kind of how I became a trumpet player and then how I lost the ability to play.
Wow. And so now, so then you came back to playing, but it was with this electric valve instrument. So tell us about this rare instrument.
Yeah. So it's rare. The one I have is rare. This was built in 1973 by a guy named Niall Steiner in cooperation with the Krumar, which is a big synthesizer, like Krumar, great synths. And so it's essentially Niall Steiner took this design, brought it to a bunch of Italians at Krumar and was like, hey, I want you to put your synths inside this really weird, rectangle of buttons. And thus that thing was born. And it's gone on to kind of, help the advent of the EWI, which is kind of a clarinet looking thing that, the saxophone great Michael Brecker was a huge proponent of. Hannah John Taylor's been known to whip one out at Coda at times.
Wow.
And so this thing kind of started a real like wind synthesizer trend. It's just a synth, but instead of pressing a key, you're just blowing into it.
And I had no idea that this was going on in 1973.
Right?
Let alone nowadays it seems like you have a lot of, obviously, with MIDI came in the 80s and all these controlling units and stuff, and guitars have been doing it for a long time, but the trumpet, and especially the way I saw that in 1973, I don't know where I missed that.
And I'm sure we could nerd out for way too long for this podcast to allow. But this even predates MIDI, so this isn't even the data it's sending to the actual oscillator isn't even, it's purely analog instrument, just based off of the resistance and the capacitance of the signal it's sending through the wire.
Wow, and it sounds incredibly like a trumpet.
I mean, it's a synth. Anything, synthesizers create any tone. So
now, are you actually like putting any breath into it? I noticed that there's,
So there is a little hole right in front. Just looks like a straw, but it's just a pressure plate. So the more pressure you provide, the greater the amplitude of the tone will be.
Wow. And then there's a piece on the end that looks like you're playing like a mute on a normal trumpet, but it's doing some kind of portamento or bending or something.
That's
right?
Deciding which octave I'm in, just because the trumpet only has three valves, which only gets you seven combinations, which there are more than seven notes in a 12-tone chromatic scale. And so in order to get to the other registers of the horn, you there's a button on your thumb, much to like the fourth valve on the euphonium, and then you twist it to either go up or down an octave.
Nerds.
Wow.
Nerds. That's someone's favorite word, nerds.
That's twisting a different part of the brain, I think. Wow. Well, that's really cool. Well, it's great to get to know Frank McKern the Fourth. He's playing trumpet, or should I say the electric valve instrument. And now let's give the drummer some. Greg Riss is one of the newbies in the band, but comes with a lot of experience as a musician and jazz percussion teacher in Appleton. Greg, tell us your backstory and what has been your musical journey.
Right. So actually started on guitar when I was a little kid.
Okay.
And fell in love with music that way. My mom was a cellist, my brother was a cellist, and I played the guitar. Eventually I played some violin and then played some percussion, like school band percussion, and then played drums in like a garage band type thing. I found my way into jazz kind of that way. I went to school for percussion also, and have always just considered drums another percussion instrument.
Where'd you go to school at?
I went to Lawrence, actually, where I'm now.
Oh, right
teaching.
There in Appleton.
Yeah.
Oh, and you teach at Lawrence University?
Right, yeah.
Wow, that is a great school. And Appleton just has an incredible music scene.
Yeah.
In fact, Flannel Fest was just up there last night, right? At, what was the name of that theater?
Oh.
They have a lot of great venues
yeah,
up there.
Yeah, they do.
I really love Appleton. So you said your parents were a part of your musical upbringing then.
Yes.
How supportive have they been through music? And?
Well, yeah. I mean, my mom basically... It was not really an option to do music. She was like, you're going to do music.
Oh,
in a loving way, you know, but she was always bringing me to lessons and taking me to see concerts. She was in the Madison Symphony. She played cello in the symphony.
Oh, really?
So I grew up hearing the symphony and hearing all kind of music on the radio and, you know, going to concerts. And yeah, it's always been a part of me. So whatever instrument I'm playing, I feel pretty fulfilled, honestly, whether it's drums or classical percussion, contemporary percussion. Played hand drums in some kind of Latin groups and that kind of thing.
Now, did you guys have a family band?
No. So my dad doesn't play, but we played at some weddings. So I play some marimba, right? It's a beautiful percussion instrument. So we did two cello and marimba trios at some family members' weddings, which was the closest we had to a family band.
Wow. And how did you meet these people here? You're kind of new in this band, right?
Yeah. I think I probably met them at the same jazz jam, but they had another drummer at the time. So I also just met them through the Madison music scene. I lived with Anthony for a little while. Beautiful house over on North Street.
Don't tell them where we live, Greg.
We live on
we'll bleep
South
that
Street.
Out.
Yeah. South Street, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, before you spill any more classified information, let's get back to live jazz in the lair presented by the Aaron Weber Group. The next song you have for us tonight is called Lovin' a Cheat. Love Hurts, and I guess this song speaks for itself, but tell us a little bit about this song.
Yeah, this song is going to be released in February. I haven't quite decided on a date yet, but I think it's going to be right around when we play at Slowpoke, and it's going to be part of an EP that we're calling Love Hurts, which is a lyric in this song. It's going to be our anti-love EP, and so it feels appropriate to release right around Valentine's Day in protest
Perfect.
Of the Hallmark holiday, all that stuff. So,
oh, beautiful. Yeah. We'll hear Live in the Lair with The Feastette on Max Inc. Radio.
Your silky smooth talking beckon me, got all the folks saying ain't he a dream, but words can lie and love can die, a kiss can go unseen. Love hurts, what's worse is loving a cheat. Remember last Sunday afternoon, I planned my whole day around a date with you. But you forgot your lines were caught, the tangled web you weave. Love hurts, what's worse is loving a cheat. Thank you. Adele the truth, and what was her name, dear? Love hurts, what's worse is loving a
Feasted in the live in the lair with the Feasted, listening to some live jazz, Rob. It's totally amazing. Something
so cool
that I don't think we've ever seen on this show before. And right now we're going to talk to Jack Johnson. He's a student. He's studying psychology and music at the UW. Go figure. All these guys are pretty much at the UW. Tell us, how did you get your start and what role did your parents play in your upbringing of music?
Well, I see you did some research there with my major.
No, I'm kidding. Was just for psychological effect.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So I always had like a jazz house growing up. Like my dad would always listen to Nat King Cole and stuff. So there's always this jazz just like in my ears, right?
Right.
And like my dad, he plays some guitar, but like he wouldn't consider himself a musician probably. And I think he's better than he gives himself credit for. But and at a young age, I was forced to play piano, right, like many kids are. But I actually stuck with it. I actually turned out I liked it. So I don't play any other instrument. I'm a mono instrumentalist. I just play piano. I started playing jazz, actually, when I got to high school, which was not that long ago. I'm also the youngest member of the group, as you mentioned.
By quite a bit,
undergrad.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. I just turned 21, so at all the gigs, Helen's like, yeah, and our 21-year-old piano player and milks it. It's perfect.
Finally can get served drinks at
yeah,
the shows.
Yeah, right, finally.
Oh, mom doesn't have to show up at the show anymore?
Yeah, right. I'm a real adult, but anyways. I started playing jazz in high school. Actually, Frank and I went to the same high school, and that's kind of how I got to connect with this band, was like, he knew me. We played a lot of stuff. Like, I learned how to play jazz pretty much in high school. I started taking lessons, started gigging around, and got to school, and I decided I was going to keep studying it at a university level. So that's about it.
And what would you say is, like, the psychology of music?
That's kind of contentious because some people, they try to make it, they try to make their music about something, right? Like something they care about. And I totally understand that. And I think that's really cool. But there's also the side of music where you just say, I want to make this sound as good as possible. Like, I want to make this perfect sounding thing. And, you know, I think both are super valid. You could do either one if you wanted. I personally, like, my personal view on the psychology of music is all about, like, harmony and the science about the math and the waves and stuff. And I think that stuff is so cool. So that's mainly what I would say I focus on.
Oh, wow. Let's get the guitar player in here for a second. And just tell us quickly, briefly, we're running out of time. We got one more song. What introduce us to you?
Yep. My name's Anthony, and I'm not a Wisconsin native. Originally, I'm from the Portland area. I moved here about 6 years ago at this point, and yeah.
How did you meet up with these guys? New Breed
Jazz Jam. Mm-hmm. Same story. It's
the same story. Each one of you guys.
It's a small scene, or at least when it was going, everyone went.
Yeah, and that was actually, ironically, like right around the corner, right from our studio at the concourse.
That jam has been in all sorts of locations. It used to be at the Cardinal pre-reopening. When we met, it was at North Street Cabaret.
Wow. Well, let's get to some more live jazz in the Lair on Max Inc. Radio, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. The last song you have for us tonight is called Knight at Arms. Tell us about this song before you play.
Yeah, Anthony's the lead songwriter on this one yet again. He wrote it as part of a jazz composition blitz. So it was basically he had about 48 hours to put this tune together. And I wrote the lyrics a couple months later. And it was a really awesome program. The leader of the program, Claire Canipal, recorded all of our original compositions in partnership with Audio for the Arts, and actually submitted it for a Madison Area Music Award. And our jazz composition blitz album won Jazz Album of the Year for wow. Madison Area Music Awards. So that was pretty cool.
Congratulations. Yeah. Well, let's hear it. And by the way, if we make it to the end, we're running close. Mm. Thank you guys so much for coming in. It's been great to learn about the Feastette, and love hearing this jazz. Okay. Let's hear more of Feastette live in the Lair on Max Inc. Radio.
He will defend my honor. He'd never wish me harm. Can't bring him home for dinner time. He's my knight at arms. He won't wait for direction. He'd never snooze an alarm. He stops at yellow stoplights, baby. He's my knight at arms. He's not like guys who love to fantasize of fights and winning wars. He's got no sword wield, no shiny shield, courageous on his own. He knows the truth can only be found in love and not in a crown. He holds the door behind him. He's always sure to charm. He keeps receipts, he never cheats. He's my knight at arms. He's my modern day knight at arms.
Radio. This is the Civic Media Network.
He's always sure to charge. He keeps receipts, he never cheats. He's my knight at arms.
We're
Guess what? You asked for it, and you got it. The oldest furnace contest is back. Tri-City Services is giving away a free furnace to the winner of the oldest furnace contest. Whoever has the oldest working furnace in the Wisconsin Rapids area will win a free furnace. Yes, a free furnace. What are the rules, you ask? Well, entrants must own and reside in their home in the Wisconsin Rapids area. The furnace must be functional and the main heat source for your house. Pretty easy. So take a picture of that old dinosaur furnace and enter online at calltricity.com. Contest ends November 30th, so hurry. Enter your dinosaur furnace in the oldest furnace contest at Tri-City Services. Restrictions apply. Enter online at calltricity.com before November 30th. You're not comfortable until you
are at Tri-City Services. WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown